So this is Rowdy, and today's Inclusive Activism podcast specifically has my good friend Eric Tench as the executive director of Anytown. I also found out he's going to be working in student life down at PC a little bit more than he has been before, so I'm looking forward to some opportunities there. But really excited to have the executive director of Anytown, Arizona, in my house hanging out with the dogs in the podcast. So we're going to talk about a whole bunch of topics and stuff first, but I know the thing I'm sure the viewers want to hear from most is, so Anytown's back.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't aware of Anytown's back. So if we can kind of talk about Anytown's back, how did Anytown get back, and kind of like what happened, how did things evolve, what was your role? And we'll kind of just pop back and forth on stuff, so
all right.
If I don't want to ask anything more, I'll just kind of hop in. But yeah, let them know, Anytown's back. I think they'd be excited to hear about it.
Well, before I talk about the goodness that Anytown is.
Yeah.
So my name is Eric. I've lived in Arizona my whole life.
I'm a
Phoenix native. I'm brown. I'm queer. I am a lot of things, but I'm at the end of the day, I'm still human and trying to do the good work that we should be doing in our society. So Anytown, it's one of those things, people who are trying to market this program, it's like, what do we say?
Right, yeah. How do you summarize that into an elevator speech?
Right.
It's really difficult.
It really is, and like, get to the main points, but what I would say is that, this program has been around since the 60s, starting in a program that was a field tension between races, religions, which evolved into a huge social justice program that encompasses a lot of social issues.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a program called the National Conference of Christians and Jews, but obviously over time, like, if you want to be a little more political correct about it.
Right, yeah.
Evolved into the National...
Probably a good idea not to
have
Jews in your title.
Yeah. Now involved into the National Conference of Community and Justice, which they were around for a while,
mm-hmm.
who did a lot of programs around the country that involved Anytown, and we were just so happened to have the largest program in Arizona.
Yeah, I've heard, I'm not sure, so if I'm wrong on this, forgive me, whoever's out there, but I think NCCJ kind of evolved into another group called Just Communities.
I think so.
And I have some friends that are trying to bringing Just Communities out to East, like in Mesa. So it's kind of neat to see like some of these, like what is new is old, what is old is new.
Right.
Kind of thing happening, so.
Right. And so, I think about that too, just reaching out back to them, because my board is still looking for good partnership with programs like NCCJ or Just
Communities.
Yeah, Just Communities, yeah. So, but, evidently, the way the economy worked back as Obama was taking office, everything was going under.
Yeah.
Our program went under in 2009, and that board at the time decided to vote it into the YMCA,
mm-hmm.
and did not. And, as far as that, the thousands of volunteers that volunteered for the program just disappeared, and...
Well, it's hard, because I think the Y had a good intention, when they picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not just handing over programming, you're handing over a heart. Like, how do you hand over a heart to, I like the Y. Well, the Y is a good organization, but unless you had a bridge, it just wasn't going to work.
Right, but I can also kind of think about that too, what was the consideration of YMCA? Did they fit the model of Anytown? Because it's clearly Christian Association. So, my thoughts were we do LGBTQ workshops.
Right.
How does that fit in their mold,
and
things like that. And so it actually turned out into a really negative thing where they did not do anything with the program. They did a program back in 2010 and 11.
Yeah.
But that was about it. And, you know, the hard thing about the town program, like the town, like not just any town, like in Arizona.
Wait, so people don't know what towns are.
Tell them what the town is. So what happened is that any town used to charge, well, we still do charge, I mean, but, you know, for the curriculum that we're using was like a public domain, and people started realizing, oh, we don't need to hire any town anymore to do this work. We have a program, you know, they can charge us for it, so we'll do our own spin-off in it. So now you have high schools and middle schools and colleges who are doing Unitown or Ruintown or Northtown, you know. It's just taking that first part of the word before town and just adding your own name to it.
Right, yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm a byproduct of that just because I did a town program through ASU called College Town ASU. So, but now that we have thousands of schools in the state of Arizona doing their own thing, it's now, that still doesn't put in a good spot for any town at the YMCA. So YMCA was charging ridiculous amounts for even just one day programming. So they just put it in their back closet. And then 2014, a group of people who wanted it to come back, I heard it was coming back. And so I was like, oh, I need to get involved in this. And so,
who's the one that was Jan?
Her name is Sandy Fromm. And it's, you know, I dearly love this woman just because through my town experience, she was the first person that I had interaction with. She was my director. I was a delegate when I was 14. And she left an impeccable remark on my heart during the program just because at the age of 14, I was going through a lot of shit. But just trying to find my own identity at that age and just coming to the program, finding people who are like me and find a resilience in my heart to, like, I owe, like, now I owe my life to this program after doing it, so.
So but, what did that mean for, like, a young, like, Latinx, queer, like, guy kind of finding himself at awkward 14?
Well, before I went to any town, I just came, well, it's like a month or two, and my parents were pissed. Like, my dad was pissed, my mom was mad, and it was just a lot of, like, tough conversations, and for my dad, it wasn't like a religious thing. It was more like, that's not being a man type thing.
Yeah.
He wanted to throw religion there, but I can tell, like, through his BS words, trying to use the Bible against me, he, like, really didn't, like, he just basically came down to us, like, men don't do this. Men don't do that.
But well, and too, like, for people that are not exposed, like, you know, in that culture, like, you know, there is a very heightened sense of need to perform masculinity. So, you know, I could see that being a big threat,
you know,
to his.
And so, like, even with myself, when I looked at myself when I was that age, I totally thought I was, like, femme, you know. I even think about my first experience, you know, with masculinity. Like, I cried my first football practice. My dad turned around. I told him I really didn't want to do this. And, like, he's like, you get your ass back on the... My dad was my coach, too.
Oh, shit.
And so, I, like, the first time I got tackled, I thought it was, like, the worst thing in the world.
I would like to be hugged, but not exactly.
The yelling and the down hut like type thing in a very, like, loud, like, voice and, like,
violent.
Like, I thought that was very traumatizing for me.
Yeah.
And so I think the, like, compromise is that I play baseball instead.
Okay. So you found that, like, the happy medium.
I had to. It's just, my dad was my coach for, like, every sport. Soccer, basketball, football. I know, it's funny.
Because he's trying to relive this experience through you, and you're just like, I can't do that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of disappointment in myself, because, like, I feel like I couldn't get to that with my dad. And so, my dad heard through any town, through his job, just because one of the people that he worked with was a volunteer. And I didn't know what I was getting. My dad didn't even know what I was getting to and stuff like that.
It's cool he was looking.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he wasn't, like, super...
And so, I'm like, I always found mediums with my dad versus my mom. It was just, like, the Bible says, you know? But, like, you know, I did, like, performing arts in high school and I did student government. Like, I kept myself involved. But, like, when I went to any town, boy, I did not know anyone that went. Like, I was just, like, an outsider. And then my discussion group here at any town, you're in a small group mm-hmm. that you get to know on a personal level. And so my staff person was gay, and he was very open about it and very unapologetic.
Thank goodness. You know, right?
Yeah.
It's funny how, like, you know, I think sometimes when you're in good spaces, like, sometimes stuff just comes together.
Yeah.
But, gosh, that's great. That's great to hear. But go ahead. Tell me more about Schlonger.
So, yeah, his name was Rico, and I fell in love with the unapologeticness of being, like, open and being honest about who you are.
Yeah.
Because I just came out. I was ashamed of myself. I was in a very good space, you know,
yeah.
to the point where I was dealing with, like, deep depression, too.
What year is this?
This was 2014, or no, 2004, I'm sorry.
2004, yeah.
Yeah, I was 14
so, yeah,
at the time.
There's still a pretty strong stigma against
right.
the community.
So, like, I went, I did the program. Obviously, like, every delegate that goes through this program says it was such an eye-opening experience, but I kind of felt like it saved my life a little bit, just
yeah.
because I was very empowered to do more, because that's what I've always wanted to do since I was young, like, was help people and
yeah.
talk to people and just, I think, and I kind of want to thank my mom a little bit for that, being, like, growing up through a church. It's like,
yeah.
well, we need to help people.
Right.
You know, like, I can find a similarity or, like a common ground, like, because I have a hard time with, like, churches and stuff like that.
Of course, yeah.
It's just that wanting helping people when they're in need. And so I think I was given a gift when
mm-hmm.
I went through that. And that 7 days of my life were the best.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I started high school, and I was just starting high school.
Yeah.
And so I was just more of like, okay, I'm out and I'm comfortable with myself. And then it just turned into something like it was starting to be accepted in society and
yeah.
my friends knew and
yeah.
I was very honest and I was in band, and everyone was gay in band.
Yeah, you find your spaces, right?
Right,
yeah.
And I really did, like, and I found that, too, like, in my student government, too. Like, a little bit, also, too, like, what helped is that, and we'll probably talk a little about this, about
yeah.
being masculine and being gay,
yeah.
being accepted in spaces. Like, I think about it, like, now, oh, like, you're not a gay guy, you're a straight gay guy, or
right, yeah.
you're too masculine to be gay, so you're cool, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I got a lot, it's funny finding that, like, thinking, oh, I was too femme for my dad, but now I'm in high school, now I'm very masculine,
yeah.
you're too straight to be gay, or...
Well, it's so hard, I think, too, because, like, you know, and from what I know, and, like, you know, this is straight, cis, masculine, like, I couldn't be further removed from the experience personally.
Yeah.
But, just the challenge of even trying to find a partner where there's that natural balance, or, like, one of my friends, get that itch, buddy. Tank scratching himself, so. Finding someone that's, like, masculine enough for you, but, like, you know,
yeah.
there's a feeling of competition, like, if people present too femme, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
then you can't date because, like, they're seen as competition.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's a lot of unspoken norms to
right.
navigate, and that whole culture of, like, to this, to that, not enough this, not enough that,
right.
is really pervasive in the community, and just things that I've seen and so
yeah.
observed. So
yeah, that's the journey of, like I said, any town, and my high school had a town program.
Yeah,
which
high school?
North High.
Okay.
So it's called, the program's called NFL. But it stands for Northtown Family of Leaders, and
okay.
my student government teacher had been doing it since the 90s, because
yeah.
he went to any town back in the
90s. Right, yeah, yeah.
And I think at the time, too, Phoenix Union was getting, like, a segregation fund for, or a desegregation fund, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Those funds are at risk now.
Right, yeah, for sure. And those funds, you know, were actually funding, like, the town programs in itself.
Yeah.
And so I went, and it was just a similar thing. And then the next year, I went back as a counselor. And
yeah.
then I did that for 2 years. And then come 18 or 17 at the time, I graduated high school. And that was my first Anytown counseling experience as a staff person. So yeah, Sandy was directing my camp along the guy at the time. His name was Daniel. But it was, again, having the town experience through my high school.
Mm-hmm.
coming to Anytown was a much rewarding experience coming as a staff person.
Just God, giving away is so much better, isn't it?
Right? Yeah. You know, like, I wasn't a counselor in training. Actually, I didn't even get picked. I got picked as an alternate, and I was like, oh, this sucks. And yeah. So, I literally a month went by, and then I didn't look at my email for another month.
Yeah.
I saw a message from Anytown, and I was like, oh, good news, you're going to Anytown. Oh, and I was like, respond now.
Yeah.
And I called and I was like, I'm interested in going. She was like, we've been trying to call you. And like, I was like, oh, well, I'm available.
Yeah.
And so, all right, well, you're going to be meeting at Sandy's house, yeah, you know, for training and just be here. And I met, there's all these other people that I didn't know. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, I went to Anytown this day. I went to Anytown this. Yeah. This is my third time coming back as a counselor with Sandy.
Yeah.
Like, Sandy was this great person, like, yeah, you know, but bless her heart because she's been involved in this program since the 90s. Mm-hmm. And with her coming back and really investing into this program, mm-hmm, it just kind of got me where I'm at. Just like I said, over the years after that, you know, yeah, I just been involved until like Anytown went under.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I did the first YMCA in Anytown, yeah, you know, with some other good people.
Yeah.
But then when I was at ASU, I did the College Town program, mm-hmm, which it was an extension of Anytown.
Mm-hmm.
All the people who were volunteering were Anytown people.
Right.
So Anytown went away, had College Town.
Yeah.
And we were doing College.
So was the bridge, yeah.
Right. So social justice at a college level, talking to students, you know.
Love that stuff, yeah.
You know, it's funny too, Rowdy, that you talk about this, like, about service learning too. I think, you know, doing emerging leaders at Maricopa Community Colleges,
mm-hmm,
this kind of was like my foundation too, of like just trying to find ways to get involved and, mm-hmm, having a voice and being active in communities and the spaces that you're in and stuff like that. That really like shaped me to like do the work at ASU, what I was doing.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I was reading an article about some of the work that's done in emerging leaders specifically, and the last C is like citizenship.
Uh-huh.
But it's hard because like it's hard to perform that citizenship, right? Because like, I mean, there's like this 50s notion of citizenship.
Citizenship can be a problematic statement,
right,
too.
Right, right, yeah. But they were equating that activism is more like the citizenship type service that,
right,
you're wanting to,
mm-hmm,
do. And I think activism, well, you know, I talk about it on this podcast how it does have like this dirty connotation, which is completely ridiculous.
Right.
It's more like an activeness, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the activism, right? But it's that spirit of service that is reflected in you and the things that you choose to do all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because like, let's be real, you're working for Anytown right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, are you getting paid? Nope. But at the end of the day, you know, this helps you spread the word about what you're doing and the good stuff, and, you know,
mm-hmm,
why wouldn't you show up to that? I didn't get a chance to tell you, but I saw a towner at the Muslim rally yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was really cool, because, like, they're like, is anybody else coming? Like, and I think I saw that Harry was supposed to be there, too, but, you know, like, you can give that spirit of, like, active service in the community away,
yeah,
and see that type of repercussion come, mm-hmm, to you, I think is pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
So you're back at, we're back at 2004, Sandy calls you, we're trying to get back to Anytown. So tell me kind of what happens next.
Are you talking about 2004 or 2008?
I'm talking about 2014, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That would be clear.
So I see, so there was a Anytown Facebook page.
Okay.
And I saw that, oh, we're looking for people to get involved with Anytown again. And I was like, what the heck?
So just
like,
so people know, what is that Anytown Facebook page if they want to go there?
Anytown Leadership Camp.
Yep.
And it, like it, we,
yeah,
have some postings coming up. Mm-hmm. Well, a little bit I'll talk about what I'm trying to accomplish right now.
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
about
I just want to make sure
that website.
We'll hit
too.
It again before,
yeah,
we're done. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, like, Sandy, like, I haven't seen her in a long time. And
yeah,
she was this person who was very strong. I don't know if she liked me,
yeah,
you know. I mean, Sandy has a very strong personality.
Yes,
and
she's a very strong woman.
And I, you know, like, thank God for her, like, you know, because that's helped her over the years and doing,
mm-hmm,
her own work. You know,
yeah,
she was a lawyer for a long time.
Yeah.
And that really taught her something,
mm-hmm,
you know, so.
Yeah.
But I was invited to this meeting that was actually at her son's office, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
and he works in downtown Phoenix. And I walk in, I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen these faces in a long time. Like, I haven't seen Julie, I haven't seen Kelly, I haven't seen all these people in years. And I was like, I'm at home right now with these people.
Yeah, and it's funny how it's always a reunion.
Yeah, and it's funny because Sammy goes, I don't remember you.
It's funny, the same lady that called you to help her bring it back, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And so...
gosh, could you imagine, though? Think of the talent she's got under her belt. The student that I met, I didn't remember her name.
Yeah.
I remember her heart, but I don't remember her name.
Yeah, and so I was like, Sammy, how do you not remember me? I went to your camp in 2004.
Right.
I was your staff person in 2008.
Yeah.
And that was our last program, and so...
Yeah.
But I
think that was a while ago. Then.
I think about my leadership skills, too. Like, I was very quiet. Like, I would say I'm reserved a little bit.
Yeah.
You've
developed extroversion.
Developed so much, and I'm very I feel like I'm very outspoken now. Like,
yeah, definitely.
And I think that's an awesome journey for myself, just finding self-confidence in myself, and doing a lot of these leadership programs, being involved over the years has really helped.
Yeah.
And
when you find your cause, you find your voice.
And she said, you were probably really quiet. And I was like, that's true, Sandy.
Yeah. Right.
I was very quiet, but yeah. And so I just started going to the meetings, and then slowly, surely, people started disappearing after that too, a little bit. Like, we had rough times with the board and stuff like that. Well, there wasn't even a board involved. It was just people at the time collecting.
Just a collective. Yeah.
Collective people who wanted this program back.
Right.
And so people were getting money donated. Mm-hmm. We reserved a campsite. Mm-hmm. Now the job is to get 60 delegates up to Camp Tanazona.
From nowhere. After 4-year layoff.
So you gotta think about where are all these...
No, 6-year, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you gotta think about where are all these volunteers at that used to be once with any town?
Yeah.
Where are all the people who were heavily invested into the program? Or, oh, I'll always send kids to your camp. Right. You know, what happened to those things? But sure enough, we got into high schools, we got back into it. There was a lot of people who were like, oh my God, I'm so happy that Anytown is back. Slowly people started disappearing, and I was doing the work.
Yeah.
Sandy was doing the work. It was only certain people, there was 4 or 5 people doing the work. And then I met Bruce Cohen, which he's a judge on the Superior Criminal Court for the youth.
Right.
And he is a wonderful man, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's
The Bruce.
Yeah. Shout out to him.
Yeah, definitely.
I hope he's feeling well. I know he just had surgeries.
Yeah, he's been having a couple.
So. Yeah, so but he's doing a lot better, but that guy is something else. So.
Yeah, when I was at camp, he was post-surgery.
Yeah.
Couldn't sleep, walking around in pain at night.
Right.
Heavily medicated.
He's still finding
a way to get it all done, though.
He would say, because he couldn't sleep at night, I was just trying to protect the campgrounds from people.
Right, yeah. No, or I literally can't fall asleep because I'm in pain.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then 2014 happened, and I went as an advisor.
Mm-hmm.
What I missed about Anytown versus College Town, mm-hmm. what mostly College Town was just people of ASU,
mm-hmm.
but Anytown is this community program where you get police officers, mm-hmm. you get teachers, you get a whole bunch of different people that are on staff that are in the program. And that's what I love about this, is mm-hmm. the community bonding of different professions, mm-hmm. different statuses of people. And I think that's a calling that I miss this so much, you know. Because we're in reality, I only had 2 experiences with the actual Anytown program,
mm-hmm.
just the 2008 and the 2010
mm-hmm.
after that, and then it went under.
Yeah.
And then the next year came, 2015, we start planning camp, and next thing you know, we got a 501c3 started, and from there, I've just been involved on the board, and again, numbers, it was only 4 or 5 people coming to the meeting, and then
it's hard to maintain enthusiasm when you don't have
it. Really is, and so
the drudgery.
Thinking that Anytown has its own name for reputation.
Yeah,
it's been around since the '60s. We're still struggling.
Yeah,
because we're still a young program. That's old.
Yeah,
that's really what it is.
Well, it's interesting too, because I want you to talk about this as well, but I'm noticing now, and it's really, it's kind of interesting to see, and on behalf of Xers, I do apologize for our mass absence in your programming, because I don't notice a lot of folks that are my age, like in their 40s, that are really a part of things. But like now, I see a young, energized group of folks that are, it's interesting, right? Because I mean, I think it's just part of being like, kind of like where you're at.
Right.
As far as evolving as a person, but then also trying to find time to do this thing that brings you so much joy. Mm-hmm. And when it's crunch time, of course, right? It's super easy because there's the demands of right now.
Right.
But then, and so, you know, the camps will always get done. Like, yeah. There's never a concern about that. But then what do you do in the slow times?
Right.
And how do you manage the commitment and stuff? But I know you becoming executive director also is a fairly new event. So tell us a little bit about that and how that happened.
And again, we had to talk about Sandy.
Yeah.
From in this. Yeah. She, again, the collective is a good woman, but you know, in the process of doing the 3 years, we've been a lot of push back from a lot of people, and people don't want to get involved because just, like, again, the people are still hurt of what's happened at the old program, and there's a lot of that hostility, and, like, I'm mad of what happened in 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be involved because certain people are involved in this organization still, and so, you know, coming into this now as executive director, I was like, crap.
Right.
I was like, I gotta put out fires, I gotta, like, mend relationships and things like that. So I guess I anticipated doing, but now, like, hitting full force, like, I'm meeting with people, like, come on, like,
yeah,
I need you, like, jump back in the
pool. Well, it's evolving, right? You know?
It is evolving.
And I think everybody notices that
right.
space where it is.
And so, Sandy's, she's done tremendous work, and part of it, too, I think there was a need, a different leadership change in that process, just because it was always like Sandy style and things like that. And so, and then, like, I'm openly honest about this just because it's what it is,
right?
And so, talking to her, and she had got cancer too.
Yeah,
she's going through breast cancer at the last 2016 camp, and
yeah,
you know, she was one of the co-directors, but she was not there. Physically, she was there, but her head was not there.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, it's hard. You're fighting for
right.
your life.
Right. You just, a week before this, you just did chemo and
right.
you're hitting you just feel like you just hit a truck, you know?
Yeah.
She didn't sit through her favorite programs.
Yeah.
You know, it was hard for her.
Yeah, she had to sit
And so, you know, during that process of any town, I said, Sandy, what are we going to do? Like, you're not doing well. And I think it's time for you to, like, let's move on leadership, you know?
Yeah.
And like,
what can we do?
Can I do to help you? Like, I've been here for the last 3 years. I had to, like, fight to, like, get curriculum changed for, like, any town. Like, when we first did it back in 2014, I was like, why are we still doing the stereotypes activity? And if people don't know, it's, like, the way it's done, it's done so weirdly, like, the old model. It's like, where
words that hurt? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, almost. But it's like, okay, you sit in a group with young students and say, if you belong to this community, leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
People in the room have to say negative stereotypes.
Yeah.
People outside, oh, let's talk about good stereotypes, and then come back in, and then you see the negative list first.
Yeah.
And then show the positive list, you know? But in an instance, like, talk about, like, oh, I guess good stereotypes are good. Versus, like, all stereotypes are bad.
Right. Well, it just wasn't part of that, right? And you're only focusing on negative.
Right. And so when I did it in 2014, I started thinking, I was like, oh, all program needs to, like, evolve.
Well, it's hard, right? Because it's got this legacy and people are so invested in it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to watch something you love evolve.
Right.
I can tell you, I did, with my first year of Diversity Incorporated, I did Words That Hurt, and boy, it just went terribly wrong, just because, you know, there's that moment where, especially people just developing their identity, can gleefully start shouting these things out,
right.
Like, I know this stuff, the rest of the community is just shocked that they're just so happily coming up with these things, and it's good because you can have a conversation about that,
right.
But it's also, you know, there's other ways to do things, you know?
Right.
And I learned quickly, like, that's one of those ones that, gets pretty emotionally charged, and is there another way to get to the same end?
Right.
You know? Because we know the end.
Right.
It's just how do you get to the end?
Yeah.
So yeah,
there was a lot
about the change. Yeah.
Changes. Like, I think one of the biggest ones was trying to, well, I did get it, was gender inclusive housing at Anytown.
Yeah.
At Anytown, we have trans population is growing, you know, mm-hmm. in high schools and colleges. And so there's a big need to recognize those issues that, hey, trans people are having a time in living in kind of any kind of housing situation, which is on college or outside of college. And so what better way to like start talking about like, hey, we need some gender inclusive housing where you have mixed genders, you know?
Well, and
if you were in an underage program, you need to go to the boys' cabin or you need to go to the girls' cabin.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's very triggering. That's very hurtful. People need to realize with like transitioning in the trans community is that people don't have that either the space, the money to transition how they want to. And sometimes your outer appearance doesn't look how you feel on the inside. And so people are going to put you, well, you still look like a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put you in the boys' cabin.
Right.
Versus if I think about that, I'd be so like scared and
traumatized
by that. And so I had a long conversation and said, no, we need to have gender inclusive housing here at Anytown. Like, we're an evolved program. We talk about LGBTQ issues. Why aren't we recognizing this as well, you know? And it's still a long conversation, like, well, it needs to be by parent approval.
There's some parents that won't validate their identity.
Right, yeah. And so, and had, like, also to the issue of students who are not out yet.
Right.
To the parents, you know, as far as that. But the first time we did it in 2015, we had probably like 20 parents that said, oh, I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
So that was a good sign. And we made one nice cabin that was, because we had about 3 or 4 trans people that really like, in the evaluation it said, I was very thankful for this because I was worried that I was going to have to be put in a boys' cabin or if I was going to have to be in a girls' cabin. And so.
It was awesome though. That was the first time I got to experience like true just genderless restrooms.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I had that moment at first, especially because it was younger folks, right? And I've been conditioned in a certain way.
Right.
I'm at the urinal and I see someone that immediately looks like, you know, is presenting somewhat feminine, right? Because their parents and everything, right? And I have this moment of panic and I lean into the urinal.
Right.
Really, so just, but you know what I mean? I'm so in my head in that moment, right? Like, anybody's trying to see my wiener in this moment, Eric, you know? But, like, because they're underage and because I've been socialized for this thing, like, I perform this thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, Rowdy, check yourself. Notice, like, this is the first time this individual is being able to come into a restroom, just be whoever they are. And, you know, they're not worried about you.
Right.
They're just happy to be in the spaces that they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so interesting because I teach Kingian nonviolence, too. And one of the things we have to do is challenge people to come up with new realities.
Right.
And the new reality of that gender-free restroom zone and that everybody just kind of goes into that spot together.
Mm.
And, you know, you just do your business, right?
You're not right. Really worried well, that's about what that the stuff. Battle is like.
Exactly.
The issue is like, no, all men are rapists and trans women are going to rape women in the bathroom.
Right.
When really the fucking reality is that you have to fucking pee shit. Like, that's all it is. I'm just trying to use the restroom, you know.
Well, and if you're really anti-rape, the more collective and the more folks that are in the restroom, the safer the restroom is.
Right.
So even the family restroom that's kind of considered the option is still somewhat of a dangerous space.
Well, also, too, probably getting rid of urinals and making it all stall spaces, you know.
Yeah.
That might help the issue, too.
Well, I see, too, like, I mean, in men's restrooms, those stalls are unused half the time.
Right.
And women's spaces are so...
You should see, like, the faces, like, when I go into, like, restaurants. Like, no one's using the women's restroom, and it's a single stall bathroom. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like,
it doesn't matter.
I have to go to the restroom. If y'all gonna wait for... Because this sign says the men's restroom?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna cut right. I'm not... You know,
yeah,
or the same thing for the ladies' restroom.
Exactly.
Like if it's a single stall, or if it's, like you locked right behind you, why wouldn't you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, but it was just so nice to experience because I got to do it, and you know I can own it too.
Yeah.
I was like, it was weird like twice for me personally.
Yeah.
And then you just get over it. Like, it's not a big deal because, like I said, you're just going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's not complicated.
So, yeah, so that,
I love that. That
yeah,
awesome.
So a lot of collective new ideas, what ways, how we can evolve it in any town.
Mm-hmm.
At the this last one at the 2016... You know, just talking with Sandy, it was just a lot of old school any town versus new school
mm-hmm.
any town, and just really talking to her and just being honest. And like, you know, like part of that process of directing with her the camp is that you learn about yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think Sandy really learned a lot about herself, you know. And I think even the cancer
mm-hmm.
has something to do with it, where she wants to like live a life where she doesn't have to plan camp.
Right.
She doesn't want to do this work anymore, but she still loves it, you
yeah.
know.
Well, how do you find that new space?
Right. And so that, and I think that's something too, also too, like we need to talk even programming in the future, like
mm-hmm.
like people with this, like going through cancer and stuff like that, or
yeah,
with ageism too.
It wasn't
well.
Part of our ability.
It wasn't a part of it,
no.
you know.
But
like,
it was right there.
Right,
and
you
we
know.
We used it, but we didn't talk
you know,
about it.
Thanking Sandy and opening my eyes to more issues, like with ageism, with older people. Like,
mm-hmm.
we don't sit down and talk with our older people.
Yeah.
As far as a lot of them are experiencing depression or
mm-hmm.
things like that, just because they're at a certain age and.
Oh, gosh, you look at the amount of people that are going to be retiring soon.
Right.
And. You know, I think there's this notion of like, oh, I'll travel the world, which I don't know is socioeconomically feasible. Or
I hear that.
I'll sit on the front porch in a rocking chair, which I'm sure that's going to be cool like the first week. But like then, you know, like now what?
Right.
You know, and if we're not taking advantage of the like golden experience that is like our elders and finding ways to bring them in and help us with stuff. But it's got to be that give take.
Right.
And it, you know, I have to tell you, the first, I sit on the curriculum committee at Any Town, and the first time we got to sit down post-camp, I kind of sat down, and when we were talking about stuff with E, I was like, look, you know, this old school, new school thing is something that has to be resolved. And what's been awesome, though, and I know you don't notice because you're in the struggle, is you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You and Sandy, through the difficulties or the spurts forward or the hoorays
yeah.
or the damn it's like are still figuring it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, I don't know. I mean, I think new school, old school will still be a thing.
Oh, it definitely is.
But at the same point in time, like, because you're finally talking about it, there's
mm-hmm.
a bridge. You
yeah.
know, that y'all have the capacity and bravery to engage with that is
mm-hmm.
going to be that long-term healing that will make this program
right.
incredibly
and it really is what it comes down to is just having those difficult conversations
mm-hmm.
like with people
and realizing you love each other
right and I think there are times that I think my board needs to go through any town again too
right
as
yeah.
well
right
I collectively have this conversation with a few people on my board sometimes and even some of them say like I haven't been to any town since 2006
right
I don't know any better anymore, or like I do
well,
know
yeah,
better.
Your work since
I like I feel like I need a refresher and things like that, which
yeah.
I think all like I should like make them all go through it again. Or
oh yeah, there should be like a 3-year cycle if you haven't been to a town
right
within 3 years. You got
that.
Go
those
town.
Are good things to put on the board too
right.
as well, and
yeah.
so
well because then you have that connection too, right? That emotional, the why.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm a member of some boards.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the behind-the-scenes, difficult, just drudgery that it takes.
Yeah.
And unless you're taking yourself to the heart space of why you're doing it, it's easy not to know why it worked. Why
yeah.
It's
through the talks of cancer and
mm-hmm.
the talks of change of leadership, Sandy,
mm-hmm.
after camp, you know, and again, this is after Sandy found out that she is in remission
mm-hmm.
with her breast cancer.
Hooray!
Yeah, so it's good. It's good,
yeah.
like, you know.
Yeah.
But, again, her focus is like, I don't want to have to focus on camp anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to focus on planning these things. So, Eric, I'm going to step down as of this next board meeting. I think it just happened, like, this past October.
Yeah.
And I literally, after that, like, I went to dinner because Sandy likes to take people to lunch.
Yeah.
That's her little thing. And
right.
so we went to a little Jewish restaurant
yeah.
Called Miracle Mile, you know.
Yeah, I know where Miracle Mile is.
And so, and literally right after I text you,
yeah.
Rowdy, and I was like, Rowdy, holy shit.
yeah.
I just became the executive director ready.
yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.